Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 28 says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit hath is like a city that is broken down and without walls." God wants us to rule our spirits. Perhaps you've heard this little poem. It's worth considering. The little poem goes like this. "I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it. But it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it." And that little poem has great truth in it. We've all got the same amount of time in every day. Each of us, we have the same number of minutes in every day. We have the same hours in every week. But how we use our time is very important. And I realize that time is not necessarily an act of our spirit, but our spirit controls our time. And what we do with our time, and I think you'll see that as we work our way here through it tonight here. And, you know, what I've got to say tonight applies to all of us tonight, down to Rachel, all of us all the way up. It is for everybody because there's lots in it for all of us to learn about ruling our time. And so as we look at this tonight, first of all, I want us to consider the fact that the misuse of time is a major problem. It's a major problem. And as you think about that, slothfulness is one of the biggest ways that we waste time. By slothfulness, we're talking about being lazy. And the scriptures, you look in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs is full of information about being slothful and lazy. There's lots and lots and lots of information in there. And so Solomon has a lot to say about that. But being lazy is something that steals our time and wastes our time. And it's maybe working in slow motion. It may be daydreaming, maybe taking extra breaks. It may be even talking when you're not supposed to be talking, when you're supposed to be working. You know, if we're being paid to work, slothfulness is sin. And sometimes we don't look at it from that perspective. And if we do, if we have a job to do, then slothfulness is wrong. We should not be slothful. We should not be lazy. When I was a teenager, I think it was probably about 16 or maybe 17. I worked one summer for Ed Cole Christmas Tree Farm as a tree trimmer. And our job was a very dangerous job in many respects. We had a 40 centimeter knife with another 15 centimeter handle on it. And that knife was razor sharp. Every day, Mr. Cole would sharpen those knives before work until they were razor sharp. And we would take that knife and you'd walk up to a tree and Mr. Cole very clearly taught us. He says, "Now you've got to follow this instruction. It's very important." He said, "The top little sprout that's coming out of the tree, it cannot be more than 12 inches long, 30 centimeters. He says, "I want it exactly 30 centimeters. Not shorter, because if it's shorter, then I lose money. If it's longer, it puts a hole in the tree because there'll be a gap. So it's got to be at 30 centimeters. And so he taught us to just take the knife and you just go down the side of the tree, one swipe, and you about six swipes and you go all the way around the tree and trim all the branches off of it that were sticking out there. And you only cut off the new buds, not the old buds. And then each one of those that you cut off, they multiply. And that's how those trees get thicker and thicker and thicker, because they all multiply like that. But it was very important we followed his instructions. And one of the instructions that he had was a very rigid rule, and he was very stern with that. And that rule was no talking. No talking. And that was for two reasons. One was for our safety. Because if you start talking and not paying attention to what you're doing, that razor sharp knife, when you bring it down there, we wore a guard on this leg. And I hit my guard once or twice during the summer when I was working for him. Some of those guys, they would come down and they'd go jerk it out of their guard. And I'm thinking, "You're crazy, man. What if it goes through?" And one guy slipped and cut his shoe. He had to wear leather shoes, and the knife went down and cut the side of his shoe and had to go get stitches. I mean, it was a dangerous job in a lot of ways. So he said, no talking, so that you don't get hurt. But also, the no talking rule was so that we didn't slow down. He said, "I want you to work. I'm paying you to work. I don't want you talking to each other." So we'd go across the field and all in lines, and we'd each take a row, and we'd head off across the field. I think we had a row between us so that nobody was in danger. But he says, no talking. And, you know, rules like that were to help us so we didn't slow down, because we were being paid to work, and slowing down was being lazy would hinder our work. Another way that we misuse our time is through misappropriation of our time or using it wrongly. You know, sometimes we may do things that were for personal tasks when we're supposed to be working, and or maybe playing a game when we're supposed to be studying. You know, a teacher puts us out there, tells us to do our work, and we end up playing a game instead. And that's misusing our time and misappropriating our time. Or maybe for you children, it's mom says, go clean your room, and you go to the room and you play with your toys instead of cleaning. That's misappropriating your time. It's using it in the wrong way. It's not doing what you're told. It's wasting our time. Another way that we misuse our time is through tardiness. And sometimes we don't think about that, but you know, for people that show up late to work, they are stealing from the boss. Even if it's only 10 minutes or 5 minutes, that's minutes that were supposed to be there working and they've showed up late. And all of us have had situations where you get stuck in traffic, you can't get there, and there's, you know, genuine excuses. But some people are just always late. Right? And that's something that is wrong. And it is not right for us to show up to work late or to show up to school late or come up late to a meeting. When you show up late to a meeting and you're supposed to be there on time and they're all waiting for you and so everybody's standing around waiting for you, you're holding up everybody there and wasting all of their time when they're waiting for you because you didn't get there for the meeting yet. And so all these things are very important. We need to make sure that we don't waste time and misuse our time in tardiness. Another misuse of our time is working too much. Sometimes we just plain don't slow down. We work too much. And not spending enough time with the things that God says ought to be our priorities. These are the things God says, this is what I want you to do, you know, like studying our Bible. You know, many times, many Christians don't spend much time in this book. It's because they say, well, it's just too busy. I don't have time. And we need to rearrange our time if that be the case. Maybe, you know, there's not time to spend loving your wife or your spouse or caring for your children or do your parenting jobs and the things of that nature. Jobs can take too much time, and we need to be careful about this. We also misuse our time when we waste time. You know, but Jesus said, you know, I'm thankful for this. Jesus told his disciples, we need to get away. We need to take a break. We've been very busy. We need to take a break. Jesus was not against us taking a holiday. He was not against taking a break. He was not against us taking a nap if we need to. And God's saying, this is an important thing. And someone wisely said, and perhaps you've heard this, if you do not come apart for rest, you will fall apart. And we need that. We need to take rest times. And so God's not against it. However, we live in a time-wasting culture. Thousands and thousands of hours are wasted playing video games and watching TV and things that don't really accomplish anything of value. I did a little bit of a research, and there was a website called thinktv.com.au. And they said that Australians watch 55 hours and 41 minutes of TV each month. That works out to 1.8 hours every day TV. And much of that is wasted time. There's probably some people that spend a lot more time, and then there's others that don't watch it at all. But we need to be very careful that we don't waste our time. Wrong priorities can also waste our time. You know, you may do the right thing or good things, but not in the right time or the right way, and our priorities aren't right, and we're not productive, we're not edifying, we're not doing really what we should be doing, but what we're doing maybe isn't wicked, but it's just not using our time in a right way, in a priority way. So there's a lot of ways that we get stuck doing things or wasting time or not doing what we ought to be doing that as God would have us to do. So we need to be careful about this. Now, God admonishes us to rule our time. And I want you to turn to several verses today. And the first one is going to be in Psalm 90, verse 12. Turn over to Psalm 90 and look at verse number 12. Psalm 90 and verse number 12. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. God is challenging us here to number our days. Why? Because our time is limited. Our time is limited. And the older we get, you know, when I was young, I thought we had lots of time. But now that I'm 64, I'm feeling like there's not much time left. Time is running out. And we don't have a lot of time. And so God says, number your days. Limit, your time is limited. You know, our parenting days are numbered. You know, for you children, the pain-free, carefree, energetic, youthful days will not last. They run out. And then you get about, you know, in middle age, and you think, oh, I'm starting feeling all these aches and pains, and things happen. That doesn't last. All right? It doesn't last. And so we need to recognize this, that we don't waste our time and use it on worthless things. God wants us to use our brief time that he has given to us to apply our hearts unto wisdom. You know, in other words, use our free time wisely for edifying things and for worthwhile things instead of wasteful things. You know, I don't think there's ever been a time that I can remember in my years that there's been more people that are frequently wasting time. When I was a boy, I mean, the kids used to play outside. They used to play, you know, run around and make forts and do all this kind of... Now what do? Sit there playing on their toys. They don't go out and do things anymore. It's a waste of time. At least there's things that we were doing. We were building things. We were creating things. We were making things. We were learning through that. But this was a great waste of time that we see in our culture today. Now flip over to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Look at verse number 9. It says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes." Now, what is Solomon saying here? He's saying, when you're young, have a good time. Have a great time. Enjoy life. Do what you want to. But then he says there, but, and I've highlighted that in red in my Bible, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. He said, you can have a great time, but you better remember that you're going to answer to God for it. You're going to come to God and stand before God one day. Therefore, remove sorrow from thine heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. He says here, the things that you do in your youth are empty. They won't last. They're not going to last for an eternity. They are shallow. Then he goes on in verse number 1 of 12, and he says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while thy evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." He said, now, while you're young, you need to remember that the day's coming. That you're going to look back and say, oh, what happened? I don't have any pleasure in these things anymore. And life is empty. And life is not turned out the way I wanted it to. What is he telling us in all this? He said, listen, we have a limited time. We have a limited time. And those years go by so quickly. And as parents, you know, that is very true for parents. You know, preparing for life while we're young is important. And helping our children do this. Parents... You need to teach your children skills. Teach them skills like cooking and the skills like mechanics and gardening and sewing and woodworking and cleaning and laundry and all the things that they're going to need to know how to do. That's important for them to learn. And because if they don't learn them now, when are they going to learn them? And that's things that both boys and girls need to learn. You know, I'm very thankful that my mom taught me how to sew. She taught me how to thread a needle. She taught me how to sew on buttons and made me sew on my own buttons when I pop them off. And that was good for me. Why? Because now I know how to do that. I'll pawn it off on my wife whenever I can, but I know how and I can do it. All right? But it's good for us to know those kind of things and know how to do the laundry and how, you know, some of those things that boys think, oh, I don't want to do that. And to learn how to cook. That's very important, to learn how to cook and things of that nature. So it's important for the boys to do that. And also for the girls to be able to know some basics. You know, if you don't have the strength to change the tire, at least you need to know how to do it so you can help. If some guy comes along, you say it's under there, and here's the thing to do it, and here you turn this and you get it. You know, you need to be able to at least know how to do it. But that'll be a help to you. It's just some basics there, maybe some basics in carpentry and things of that nature, so that you girls know how to pound a nail and some basic things. It's important for us to learn this while we're young, because as you get older, you won't have that as much time. And so it's important that we use our time wisely. You know, our boys, when they now that they've gone and left home long ago, there's been many times that the boys, especially our oldest one, Benjamin, he said, "Dad, thank you so much for teaching me all the practical things you taught me at home and teaching me to work. I greatly appreciate that. It's been much helpful." All right? And that's important. And kids need that, because one of these days they're going to look back and say, "I wish I would have learned those kind of things." Because it can be a great help if we'll do that. You know, we need to take time to teach our children godly character qualities. This is something that takes work. It's not something that just happens accidentally. You know, our kids are not going to grow up with character by accident. It's something that they got to learn, to teach them attentiveness and obedience and truthfulness and gratefulness and generosity and orderliness and forgiveness and responsibility and patience and self-control and punctuality and loyalty and discretion and creativity and diligence, and the list goes on and on and on and on. If you want a full list of it, I've got a website that I got a lot of these things off of, and there's in my notes on the web. You're welcome to go to and click on that, and you'll go right to those things. But there's all kinds of qualities that we need in our lives, and we need to teach them. And it's not going to happen by just, you know, hoping that it does. It won't happen that way. And you can tell that by just looking down the street. How much are the kids down the street learning? How much are they learning about things of life that are really going to matter? Probably not a lot. And so we've got to work diligently at these things and use our time wisely. It takes time to be able to do this. And children then learn these things through training and through observation. So as parents, we've got to be the example before them. And that's a big responsibility, to be an example before them. Before old age sets in, Solomon said, we need to take the time to remember our Creator, the one who made us, and to do His will while we have time and ability. You know, young people, that's what you need to focus on. That's what's important, doing God's will. That's the thing that's going to make you successful in life and happy in God's eyes. You know, maybe not successful in the eyes of the world, but successful before God, is if we do what He wants us to do. Now let's flip over to the New Testament, a couple more over here. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, and look at verse number 11. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, and verse 11. "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is your salvation nearer than when ye believed." What is Paul telling us here? He said, now is the time to wake up and think about eternity. Why? Because the day of the Lord is coming. And folks, listen, we live in a time that is exciting, because there's never been so much happening in our world that points toward Christ coming soon than there is today. There's so many things out there. You see, it's all lining up. It's like all the events are lining up, and God's just waiting for the moment that He's going to say, "Yes, I'm going to go get them." And we've got to be prepared. We've got to be ready. We need to ensure that we spend quality time with God. That time is limited. He says that we need to wake up out of our sleep. You know, there ought to be never a day go by that we don't spend quality time in the Bible. We need to do that. And not just moms and dads, but the kids need to do that too. It's important that we get into the Bible. You know, parents ought to have some kind of a rule where, you know, that before the children can enjoy, or even ourselves, we need to apply it to ourselves, before we enjoy our leisure time and our hobbies and our videos and our games and the things that we want to do, before we do that, we spend time with God, quality time with God. Because there's nothing more important in all the world than getting to know God and spending time with Him. Because that's what's going to hold us strong. So there needs to be a priority there, that we put God first in our lives. And children are going to be quick to get out of that and say, "Well, I don't really want to do that." And they excuse themselves or make excuses or just kind of cheat on it and only read a couple of things. So what's going to happen? You're going to have to follow up on it and figure out, follow up and say, hey, did you read your Bible today? What did you learn today? What did you see? What did it help you? And, you know, sometimes we think, well, you know, how does it really apply to kids before they get saved? Well, you stop and think about it. What did we read there in Romans 10:17? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is the scriptures that God uses to bring faith into our hearts. And so an unsaved child reading the scriptures is able to then to have God work through those scriptures to bring faith into his heart and give him a desire to turn to God. And so it's very critical for all of us that we'll spend quality time in the scriptures, and the Lord's return is drawing near, and we need to be ready. We need to be ready. Next verse is Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 16. Ephesians chapter 5. Turn with me there if you would please. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know, God says that the idea of that redeeming is to buy up. And he says, I want you to buy up the time because the days we live in are evil. Use that time carefully. Use it wisely. You know, and one commentator put it this way. He says, make wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good. We need to buy up that time. Use it wisely for God's glory. And we need to seek, you know, opportunities to witness, be watching. You know, It's amazing that God does bring opportunities into our pathway if we're looking for them. But we need to be prepared. We need to have tracks ready. I don't know. It breaks my heart that there's been times I didn't have any tracks with me and I didn't know what to say and there wasn't. And there all of a sudden there's an opportunity. We need to be prepared. And when we know something's happening, you know, like if you have somebody coming to your house to do some repair. You know that they're going to be coming to your house. So get your tracks ready, have them set out. You know you're going to have to pay the bills. So as you're settling all that stuff, say, you know, by the way, I go to the Baptist church. And here's a little paper that tells you how you can go to heaven. Would you ever read of it? Then we can do that and put out the gospel at every opportunity we have. And when a delivery man comes and knocks on the door and says, package, and he wants to run off quick and say, hang on a second, I got something for you, and give him a little paper to read. I mean, We every opportunity we can, we got to work for those opportunities. And God says we need to redeem the time, buy it up, use it, because there's opportunities there. But many times we use that time in things that should not be. You know, we need to avoid those video games and those phone games and things of that nature that become very addictive. I'm working with a person even now that is struggling because they're addicted to the games and stay up half the night playing games and can't get off the games. Why? Well, it all started from once in a while playing with it. And it's a waste of time and it's addictive and there's no value in it. There's no eternal benefit to it. When we stand before God, God's not going to say, how many hours of games did you rack up? Oh, good job, good job. Now, God's not going to say that. God's going to maybe ask us, you know, how much time did you spend in the Word with me? Or how much time have you spent in prayer? Or how much have you spent doing things that really matter for eternity? But he's not going to talk about those vain things. So we need to be preparing. One last verse here for you to turn to, for 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and look at verse number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee or helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So the Lord says here, now is the accepted time. The accepted time for what? Well, in the context, it's the accepted time to trust Christ. You know, some of you young people that haven't trusted Christ yet, now is the accepted time. God is calling you and saying you need to trust Christ. Why? Because the time is short. The day is at hand. And if you don't trust Christ, you could be left behind. If Jesus comes back tonight and you don't trust him as your Savior, you're going to be left behind. That's not what God wants. And so he says now is the accepted time that we need to be prepared. And we need to turn to him while we have that opportunity. James chapter 4 and verse number 14 says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. We're only here briefly and it's gone. God says we need to prepare. We need to be ready. Because we don't know when that time will come. You know, just this morning, as Sean and Sandy were coming to church, there was an accident on the freeway. I have no idea what happened in the accident. Hopefully it wasn't serious. Sometimes they are. And when that happens, somebody's life snuffed out just like that. Unexpectedly. And it could happen to any of us. On the way home tonight, it could happen to us. And so we've got to be prepared. We've got to be ready. Now, if we have not been ruling our time, what are we to do about it? Well, we ought to, first of all, admit it. You know, that as we've talked all through this series, the key to conquering any of these problems is, first of all, admitting I've got a problem. Because as long as we say it doesn't apply to me, we're not going to pay any attention to fixing it. Because it's not our issue. But when we admit that there is an issue, we need to deal with it. You know, as you look back at that poem I read at the beginning there, and it says, I've only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it, forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it, just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. And as you think about that, we need to ask ourselves some pointed questions. You know, how have I been using my minutes each day? How did I use my minutes today? How have I used my minutes in the last week? You know, does God have the priority minutes in my life? Am I giving God the priority that He really deserves? Are you using your minutes the way God wants them used? Are you numbering your days? Are you setting goals and then fulfilling those goals? Teaching goals to your children and following up on that to make sure they're following those things. You know, are we overcoming our laziness? See, all of these things are things we need to work on. Why? Because our time is limited. And our time is brief. And when God calls us home, it's going to be all over. And when our life is snuffed out, we won't have a chance to redo it. So we need to be careful that we rule our time. You know, unruled time is wrong. You know, if any of these things we've looked at here tonight and God said, you know, that's an area you got to work on. If we've been misusing our time, that's wrong. It's not right. We can't just justify. We can't just say, well, you know, I guess I need to work a little bit on that. It's not all that it should be. No, we just admit, we need to admit it. God, that's wrong. Because God's against us wasting and misusing our time. And so if God's against it, we need to be against it. And we need to admit that. And then we need to depend on the Lord to help us to rule our time better. And yielding to the Holy Spirit of God for daily victory is what we need. We need to yield to Him and say, God, I need your help. You know, if we walk in the Spirit, what does He say? He will produce His fruit in our life. How do we walk in the Spirit? How do we walk in the Spirit? We make sure that there's no sin between me and God and there's nothing between my soul and the Savior and we can walk in harmony with Him. And that's what God wants. We need to have that and it needs to be our pattern in life. We need to ask Him to take control of our time. If your time has been wasted or your time has been misused or your time is not appropriated rightly, we need to say, God, would you take control of my time? And if we give God prime time every morning, in the Scriptures and prayer, then He will help us with the remaining hours of the day. So many times, that is true. If we give God the time He wants and what He deserves, and we love Him, and we worship Him, and we spend time praising Him, then God will help us through the rest of the day with the busy schedules that we often have. And so we need to prioritize that time with God. And then ask the Lord to give us wisdom and grace. You know, ask the Lord to help us to use our time in a better ways. You know, those 24 hours a day that we have, how can I use my time in a better way that would honor the Lord? And plan your days and then work your plans. You know, have a plan. How am I going to do this? How am I going to lay out my day? How am I going to use my time so that I can use it in a way that pleases God? And ask God for wisdom to identify those times that are time wasters in our life. And then, by the grace of God, remove them out of your life. The things that are wasting your time and eating up time that shouldn't be there, take them out of your life. Maybe it's just changing things and restructuring things. You know, if you've had trouble playing games that are just a waste of time and there's no structure to them, all it is just trying to race and beat the other guy that was the last one to do that, then choose different kinds of games. As I did a little bit of a Google search on that, I found a website, and I've got the link in the notes here, you can go to any country in the world, and it's a geographic type of a thing. All right? They're asking, you know, I pulled up the one on Australia, and they had all these different locations, and you could go to that, and there was multiple choice. You could, if you were real smart, you could just fill it in type of thing, and they'd ask you what this place was and what that place was. I didn't score too high, you know, but I did learn a few things. All right, and so and you can do it in any country of the world. It's all kinds of things. There's all sorts of things that are educational type of games that we can actually benefit from instead of just being a waste of time. It's something we're learning, we're benefiting from, and we're gaining from. So we need to refocus and restructure things if that need be, because, you know, the children may need something to do, but that's something that would be more instructive than just playing empty things. And then replace those time wasters with things that edify and have an eternal focus. You know, learn a new skill. Learn how to do something that you don't know how to do. Cultivate those biblical character qualities and just be a blessing to somebody else. Try to be a blessing to the neighbor or a blessing to someone else at church. You know, look for things that you can use your time for that can be helpful and encouraging to others. And then one last thought. This is very important. We need to learn to say no when our schedule's full. It's hard. Some people just don't ever know how to say no. And they just, somebody says, oh, would you do this for? Sure, I'll do that for you. What am I going to do? I have no clue when I'm going to get that in because I don't have any time. But I'll squeeze it in somewhere. And we just fill our schedule so full that we cannot keep up. So we need to be careful. There's times to say no and just say, no, I can't do that. I just don't have time. I can't fit that in. In order to be able to spend the quality time with God and with our family and with our spouse and the things that we need to do, we need to be able to make sure that we don't overcommit ourselves. So ruling our time may require some radical changes. But at the same time, if we put God first and we use our time in fruitful and useful things, we'll have a much more fruitful life. And when we stand before God someday, we'll have a much happier standing before Him as we answer to the Lord for how we used our time. Because we will answer for that. You know, every one of us who know the Lord as our Savior, we're going to stand before the Lord someday, and we're going to give account of how we used our time. And I mean, He tells us very clearly in Matthew that He's going to hold us accountable for even the words that we say that are just common words, that aren't even bad words. He says, I'm going to hold you accountable for all of it. And so we know that we're going to stand before the Lord and give account, so we need to make sure that in this area of our time, we're using it in a way that would honor the Lord. So just some things for you to think about, and I challenge you to just reevaluate your own use of time, and I've had to do some work on my thoughts in that area as well. Make sure that we use our time in a way that would please and honor the Lord.